Whoops, I've lost the first page of my sermon. Ah, here it is. So I think we need a little background to our First Kings reading, this prayer of dedication of the temple by Solomon. So after an effort of many years, the Jerusalem temple has been built as King David wished. Now you remember hearing earlier this summer about David dancing before the Lord as the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem after David vanquished that city. The Lord prohibited David himself from building the temple because, as First Chronicles tells it, David called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, I had planned to build a house to the name of the Lord my God, but the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'You have shed much blood and have waged great wars, and you shall not build a house to my name, because you have shed so much blood in my sight on the earth.'" David had played his part in the history of the Hebrew people, but this warrior king was not the one to build a house of prayer for all people. So now, under Solomon's reign, the ark is moved in procession to the newly built temple and placed in the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. A great cloud, a sign of God's presence, fills the house of the Lord. In verses that the lectionary skip, Solomon addresses the people, tracing a through line from God's covenant with Israel during the Exodus to God's promise to David, and finally to the temple, the earthly dwelling place of God. Then we hear Solomon's prayer of dedication, very probably edited and amended later during the Babylonian exile. Solomon asked God to keep God's promise that David's line will continue forever if his descendants follow God's ways. And he prays, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built." Now, the question is likely rhetorical, for the cloud is a sign of God's presence. Ever present as God is, the temple is now God's home on earth. And Solomon prays that God will always attend to prayers offered in that temple and also in prayers offered toward that temple. Prayed, that is, by those far away, perhaps even in exile. The king asked that God hear and attend to the people's prayers. And he gives several examples: that God mete out justice, that God forgive those who turn back to God after having sinned, and also that God forgives people when they have sinned and been punished by drought, famine, or plagues, or being besieged by human enemies. Now, those pleas indicate a very ancient mindset that natural disasters, defeat in battle, are signs of divine punishment. Now, perhaps that makes the next example, the only one included in our lectionary text for today, perhaps it makes it all the more remarkable that God would hear and respond to foreign people too when they call out to the God of Israel, so that all people everywhere may know and love the Lord. And so the temple was dedicated to God. Of course, it wasn't some decorous Presbyterian ceremony, rather, what with the crowds and the clouds, and later even some animal sacrifices. And we're talking thousands of animals. Still, churches to this day do dedicate their new buildings with prayers and offerings. And the Second Presbyterian Church, New York City, should know a thing or two about dedicating new houses of worship. since the congregation's founding in, 1756, there have been quite a few houses of worship, six, I believe, actually. This is a picture of the church's second building down on Cedar Street. This is the fourth building, I think, on West 14th Street. And I have a picture of building number five on 96th and Central Park West before the subway was built. And then finally, a skyscraper church where we are today. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Solomon's question was answered by that cloud that filled the sanctuary, taken as a sign of God's presence. Is it though God dwelling, living on earth, or more like God staying at an Airbnb? Because, Solomon elucidates, God may be here, is here, but even this fancy house cannot contain God. The temple is a powerful sign of God's presence, but also only a sign. No building, no matter how holy, can encompass God. Well, if we didn't know that before the coronavirus has taught us the truth of that statement, churches have left the building. Now, of course, some have stayed, many offering worship with masks and social distancing, or having photos stand in for congregants, as in this Roman Catholic church, where a priest who celebrated Mass in an empty church said, "We long for people to be here," right? And that, the photos, kind of completes us, kind of. But we also know that there's been outside of the church worship. Parking lot worship. I love this. Come as you are, but stay in your car. We've seen heard of worship on the grass, worship on the beach, which looks like fun, worship via live streaming, and of course, worship via Zoom. I have no doubt God has been with us on Zoom. And, you know, I think in many ways, Zoom has brought this congregation closer. Some of its people, anyway. Some are not just into online worship, and that's okay. But for others, our face-to-face stories and prayers have deepened connections with one another. And dare I say it, with God. But something's been missing. Now, two Sundays ago, when y'all were in the capable worship leading hands of Bram, Barbara, Elaine, and Unjan, I attended live stream worship. And this is not a picture of the worship I attended, but kind of the same idea, because though it was fine, there was good preaching and a massed choir, it was kind of dull. Staring at a screen, watching church, which was happening before empty pews with distracting comments happening in the chat. Then last week, when Cecilia and Clayton filled in, I attended actual in-person church. I went to St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church in Manhattan at 5 p.m. because I figured an afternoon service would be sparsely attended for sure, and it was. About 12 worshipers spread out far apart in that cavernous cathedral-like space. One priest, one lector, one organist, no choir. Again, this isn't St. Bart's, but it's kind of the idea. And I chose St. Bart's because it's an Episcopal church and they celebrate communion every Sunday. And I thought it would be nice to partake of the sacrament. Well, it was more than nice. I mean, it was lovely to be in a church space, to mumble a hymn softly under my mask. But it was so powerful to receive the bread from the sanitized hand of the masked priest and slip it under my mask and eat the body of Christ. I hadn't realized I was so hungry to be fed that bread of heaven, to take it from a hand other than my own in a physical space, along with others also being nurtured by the sacrament. Worshiping online is not the same. I know. And I have to say, leading worship online is really getting old. I mean, I've got the PowerPoint thing down, but enough is enough. And though I love seeing you all in close-up, I am pretty tired of seeing myself. I am eager to get back to the church, to our beloved sanctuary, to feel the ground shake ever so slightly under my feet as Unjung thunders away on the organ, to not be distracted by technological glitches and demands. And I know most of you are eager too, though I understand that some are perhaps a bit nervous. We feel safe at home on Sunday mornings. We don't want to feel unsafe at church. And your leadership doesn't want you to be unsafe either, of course. A church should be a sanctuary for all people, not a place where anyone ever feels unsafe. Which is why I hope that you can stay after worship to talk with the Worship and Music Committee about what we have in mind and what your concerns are. But before that, I want to return to Solomon's prayer, to his rhetorical question and response. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Even the beloved and familiar building at 6 West 96th Street cannot contain God. And before we gather in our beautiful sanctuary again, it's good to be reminded of that. Good to be reminded that even though it may feel fantastic to be back, it will no doubt feel a little weird too, maybe uncomfortable. It's also good to realize that some people who've been coming to our Zoom meetings have never set foot in our sanctuary, or not for a long time. That's okay. It will be wonderful to welcome them. As long as we remember, the sanctuary is not the church. We gather there to gain comfort and hope and inspiration for the holy work we are called to. We gather to worship God, not the church building or the organ or even the church community. We can love the building and the music and one another, but we must always remember our purpose to love and serve God and love and serve our neighbors. So once we get back in the building, we need to get right back out of it, metaphorically and physically. We need to find out what the needs of our neighbors are and see what we can do to meet those needs, not deciding for ourselves what they need and what we want to give them, but discovering how we can truly be of service. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, O God, much less this house that I have built. The houses that our forebears in faith have built cannot contain God. And they cannot contain us either, or the good things that we can accomplish in God's name. Because, though of course Solomon could not have foreseen it, God would indeed come to dwell on earth in the person of Christ Jesus to teach us how to be fully, beautifully, divinely human, just like Jesus, who continues to dwell within each of us and to give us the grace and courage to follow where he leads. I am eager to get back into our church building. And just as eager, once we do, to get the heck back out and minister to God's oh so beautiful, oh so hungry world. To God alone be the glory. Amen.